I thank you, Lord, that that is my song through the ages. That you lead me. That wherever I've been, that you've been there to lead me. Leading me every step of the way. Not a God that is afar off, but one who is near and leading. A spirit who is alive inside, empowering. I thank you for that. And Lord, in this moment that I'm in right now, I ask you, Father, to bring forth your words for your children. Not the words of the flesh, for they benefit no man, but the words of your Holy Spirit, which is life-changing to all men. I yield myself to you in this moment for your good work and your good pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, could you see yourself in any of those songs, in any of those places? Maybe the first one, were you in those places where maybe you felt like you were beyond his reach? Weighed down by shackles and chains, forgetting who he was for maybe just a moment. Forgetting that he was the one that silences the mouths of lions, and why won't he silence the voices that are driving me crazy? Or on that path where sometimes you were so tired that you don't know how you got through the next day, and the only thing you can attribute it to is what that song just said was he carried you part of the way. His grace carried you because you didn't have it in you, and you knew you didn't have it in you, and yet you got there somehow anyway. I love the part of the song where it says he cheers me every step of the way. I used to be a long distance runner, and I used to run with the Oregon Road Runners. And we'd go on these long runs, and sometimes we'd go through farm fields, and sometimes we'd go through, you know, you don't just run on a road, you kind of go everywhere. And on the longer runs, you'd turn around a corner and there'd be people there cheering you on. Some of them holding signs, you know, some of them holding water like you see in the marathons. Sometimes I hear that song, and I think of some of the harder corners that I've been on since I started walking with Jesus. And I just see him with a sign going, come on, baby. I'm going to get you around this corner. I'm going to get you one more step. Just cheering me on. Don't forget who's inside of you. Don't forget my power. Don't forget my love. I am right here to help you keep going. Cheering me every step of the way, just like he does you. I want to talk to you today about something very near and dear to my heart and to the Lord's heart, and that is the process. Today, as I said earlier, very exciting day. I'm going to read you just a little bit. You can read it in any gospel. I choose this morning Mark 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. And when they found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway, as they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered, as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus, they threw their cloaks over it. He sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches. In some translations, it says palm leaves, which is why it's called Palm Sunday. And they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. I want to stop here for a minute. Some of you have seen the Passion Play. Some of you are going to see it. People have asked me before, if you could go back and see something in time, what would you want to experience? There's a lot of things I'd love to experience. I would love to have been in the desert with Moses. But I'm going to tell you, this moment right here, I would love to have seen. Oh, the excitement that day. The excitement of the people. Here comes our long-awaited king. When your cloak back in those days was representative of your identity. And So when they threw their cloaks on the ground, and when they threw their cloaks on the donkey so Jesus could sit on it, they were throwing their identity down. They're saying, here comes my king. It doesn't matter who I am. I lay everything I am down because that's who I've waited for. And I'm so excited he is here. So the excitement was incredible. The energy, it must have been such an amazing moment. In fact, Friday night, if you look at me at that moment, you will probably see a tear coming down my eyes, as will you when they crucify him, because it must have been quite a moment. All the excitement, all the cheers, all the adoration, and little did they know that in just a few short days, everything was going to change. I had no idea. They were in the moment. This is our life moment right here. And yet in just a few days, everything was going to radically change. And it did. Excitement turned into fear. Incredible anticipation turned into massive confusion. Daily love, daily fellowship, daily companionship. We had this vision. We knew what was going to happen. We've heard about it for years. The disciples who were walking, and all of a sudden it's going to end in death. And what they thought would be eternal separation. The journey that they were all on, all of a sudden, took a radical change in course. Ever happened to you? Yeah. Monday's looking great, and the bottom falls out of my life on Wednesday, and I never saw it coming. I ask people this question sometimes because I used to ask myself this question. And I asked somebody this question recently. I said, have you ever asked yourself why it had to happen the way it happened? Have you ever asked yourself, why did it have to happen that way? Why all the pain? Why all the confusion? Why all the days and all of the years and all of the events to accomplish one thing? Just one thing. He came to do one thing. That was it. He came to make a way for his greatest creation, which is you and I, man, to be reconciled eternally to the Father. It was the only reason he came. And yet, sometimes I think about that and I go, you came for one purpose. You could have done it in 1 minute. Why'd we do it this way? Even Jesus said in John 6:38, he said, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Over and over, Jesus said this. I'm here for a very specific purpose. He never deterred from that. Again, he could have accomplished this mission in a minute. Do you ever ask yourself, why did it take 33 years to accomplish what he could have accomplished in 33 minutes? Why'd you do it that way? Do you ever ask yourself why he had to live here 30 years before he even began a ministry? Some people get saved and start a ministry in a year after they've been saved. He spent 30 years before he even started his ministry. Being the fullness of God and man, it's amazing when you just stop and think about that. Again, he could have accomplished it in 3 minutes and 33 minutes, and yet he did it in 33 years. Here's why. We needed to see the process. We needed to see the process, not just the purpose. Here's what a process is. A process is a systematic series of actions directed to some end. They don't have it up there, so I'm going to read it again. A process is a systematic series of actions directed to some end. Now, as you know, if you've read the Bible, so many things that we saw were fulfillment of prophecy. It's a continuous action, operation, or series of changes taking place in a definite matter. Not in a haphazard matter, not in a chaotic matter, not in a big bang matter. Everything just explodes and then we try to put it all back together. But it's a systematic series of actions directed to an end. One of the things that you see as you go back and you look at the process is the process gives us a picture. It gives us a picture so that we can look and we can understand. There are so many things that happen in my process. I can go back and I can look at his process and I can gain understanding. We can learn when we see the process that he went through. We can gain perspective. We can gain direction. We can gain wisdom. We can gain encouragement and endurance to persevere in our process when we go back and we look at the process that he went through. One of the things that you realize is that he had a very direct purpose. But there was a process that he walked out in that purpose. And as we look at his process and his purpose, what we see is a Savior who understands. A Savior that we can go, let me just read this to you. In Hebrews 4, 14 through 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I cannot tell you how many times I have been in the process and I have sat down and I've been, Lord, this and this and this and this. And usually he's really quiet and he doesn't say too much of anything. And when he does speak, he says, I know, they did it to me too. They did it to me too. The servant is not greater than his master. As they have treated me, so they treat you. And I go, and I'm reminded of the process. And in that moment, he's not just some savior afar off, he's a friend. That I can say, you have been where I've been. You will empower me through this moment. You are with me in this moment now. And when you understand that, then what happens is when you're in your process, he really becomes your best friend. When he says, you're not just my servant, you're my friend, you really get that. Like, I know exactly what that means. Because our processes many a times have been very similar. And you went through a process. You understand where I've been. We all live for a purpose. Ephesians 2:20, Andy read this last week. For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill whose good purpose? His good purpose. He has a purpose for each and every one of you. Whether you see it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you know it or not, whether you understand it or not. And it says right here, you're his handiwork, you're created in Christ to do good works. He's prepared you in advance to do these things. We all live for that purpose. But in that journey that we're on, there is a process that we're living out also. And that's where a lot of us get frustrated, tired, weary. Again, every one of us has a systematic series of actions directed toward an end, which is the purpose of why we're here. If you're still sitting in a chair here today, there's a reason. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and the minute you accepted him as Lord and Savior, and the reason that Jesus shed his blood was to reconcile you to Christ, was to reconcile you to God, if that was the only point of it, then the minute you got saved, you'd have gone home. But you're still here. It means there's a purpose for you being here. But in that purpose, there's a systematic series of actions, changes that are taking place in a definite matter to a directed end for the purpose that he has for you still being here. Whether you get that or not, it's still true. It's like the sun. Whether you see the sun or not, it's still there. Some days you wake up and you don't see it. Some days, where I come from, you cannot see it for months. But the truth is, it's still there whether I can see it or not. Truth is truth. Whether you can see it, whether you can feel it, whether you believe it, it doesn't matter. Right. Truth is truth. The purpose for your life is established. The journey is laid out. And no matter how much you may want to skip the process, we all don't get to. And neither did your Savior. He didn't skip the process either. Every piece of his process was significant. Every piece. And the pieces of your process are significant too, even if you don't feel like they are. When I look back, I see things and I remember things that I thought were so insignificant. And now today, I see how they were so significant for where I am right here at this moment in my life. And I bet if you took time to look back, you'd see some of the same things. The things that, pieces of the process that you used to think, can't we just skip this? Is this really relevant? Why do I have to do this? What is the point of this? And you go, this is the point of this. It was significant. When we don't see value in the process, here's what happens. We lose passion for the journey and the purpose. When we don't see value in the process, we lose passion for the journey that you're on and for the purpose of the journey. A loss of value always creates a loss of passion. Think about the things in your life that you once valued, or maybe that you value now. When you begin, whether it's a car, whether it's a relationship, whether it's, I don't know, pick it, serving God, when you don't value those things anymore, you lose passion for them. And this is what causes people. This is what causes people to burn out, to lose the passion of their salvation, to walk away from the joy of their salvation, to give up on the purpose of their journey. Why? Because a loss of value will create a loss of passion. And I don't value the process, and I think it's boring, and I think it's tiring, and I think it's insignificant, and I just want to be anywhere else. And I lose value, and because I lose value, I lose passion. I'm going to read you something. Paul, one of the things I love the most about Paul is his passion. He was not a whiny apostle. He just wasn't. He endured a lot. But he always seemed to have this passion about him. And it wasn't even that his passion was like on top and rising. You know, that fake kind of junk, that religious stuff that makes you kind of want to gag a little bit. It was something so deep on the inside of him that just moved him. Because he valued Christ so much. He valued Jesus. He valued his blood. He valued his mission. He didn't just value what it did for him. He valued the purpose of why Christ came and why he shed his blood and why he wanted to build the church. 2 Corinthians 4:16, this is a devotion from Oswald off of the passage of Scripture that says, though outwardly man perish or waste away, inwardly is being renewed. This is what Oswald said. Paul faces the possibility of old age, of decay, and of death, with no rebellion and no sadness. Paul never hid himself from the effect which his work had upon him. He knew it was killing him, and like his master, he was old before his time. But there was no whining and no retiring from the work. Paul was not a fool. He did not waste his energy ridiculously. Neither did he ignore the fact that it was his genuine apostolic work and nothing else that was wearing him out. Michelangelo said a wonderful thing. The more the marble wears, the better the image grows. And it is an illustration of this very truth. Every wasting of nerve and brain in work for God brings a corresponding uplifting and strengthening to spiritual muscle and fiber. Paul valued the process. And that's why he always had passion. He didn't lose that passion. Regardless, I'm going to tell you what, ministry will make you old before your time. It just will, outwardly. Inwardly, if you continue to keep your thoughts right, like Paul, you'll have this undying passion, this undying fire for the process, the purpose, the journey that you're in. It's more than understanding and enduring the process. You have to value it. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I'm still in the journey. I'm still in the process. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen. You won't press on through the process if you've lost value in the purpose. And if you don't value the process, you'll begin to lose passion for the purpose. This scripture we talked about Friday night at Cell, when we talked about how one man's passion can create a synergy and can just change everything when we watched a movie. And we talked about the scripture, Romans 12:11. I'm going to read the scripture to you from several different translations. From the NIV, it says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." Serving the Lord. "Do not be lazy, but work hard." Another translation says, "Work hard, serving the Lord with all your heart." New King James, "Not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." The Amplified, "Never lag in zeal, in earnest endeavor, be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord." Every translation says, serving the Lord, not serving you, not serving your dreams, not serving your agenda, not serving your desires, not serving your passions, serving the Lord. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor in serving the Lord. This is what Paul was doing. Zeal, which is fervor for a person or a cause, eager desire or endeavor, enthusiastic, diligence. Fervor is great warmth, earnest feeling, intense heat, passion, zeal. Would you say that describes you in your process? In your process of serving the Lord? People lose their zeal and their fervor oftentimes in serving the Lord because they get sideways in the process. They don't like the process. They no longer value necessarily serving the Lord. Their value is on how the Lord can serve me in my life. Serving the Lord becomes duty. It becomes work. It becomes a job. It becomes something I have to do. I have to punch my spiritual time clock. I have to go set up chairs. I have to go help with this event. I have to go take somebody a meal because I have to go shovel their walk. I have to go to church because it's Sunday and my parents are dragging me. I feel guilty. I have to give because then I feel guilty if I don't. And all of a sudden, serving the Lord is not something that I have this eager desire and this endeavor and this great warmth and intense passion and zeal to do. And the next thing you know, people lose passion in the purpose, in the process, in the journey that they're on. They forget that serving the Lord is the purpose of my life. Again, that's why I left you here. Why are you still here? That your life, that your body, Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of service." Why are we here? Serve the Lord. That's our life's endeavor right there. And every part of the process is a part of that. Mark 10:45, "Even the Son of Man," this was on your encouragement card, "did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Whose work was Jesus about? The Father's. The Father's work. What feeds you? What is your food? What energizes you? What strengthens you? Jared talked about what feeds your soul. I want to ask you that. Jesus said, "My food is to the will." This is what fed Jesus? Doing the will of the Father. What feeds you? What energizes you? What strengthens you? What nourishes you? What gives you passion and purpose? What feeds you? Is it to accomplish your will? Or is it to accomplish the will of the one who's sending you? In John 6:38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Why are you here today? Why do you get up every day? Why do you put your clothes on and put your feet on the floor and walk out your front door? Why do you stay in the race? Why do you run the race? Why do you stay in the process of your journey every day? Is it to accomplish your will in the journey? Or is it to accomplish the will of the one who's sending you? This is what you have to ask yourself today. If it's to accomplish your will, you're going to lose a value in the purpose pretty quickly. Pretty quickly. Think for a minute as you think about the process, the life that we see, the 33 years that we got to read about, that we can go back and read about again and again and again and again, from birth to death to resurrection. We get to see it all. I want you to think about how differently you would think about Jesus if you only had 3 minutes to watch him do what he did. How much less would you know about him? How much less would he be to you? You never got to see him hold children. You never got to see him walk into a church and flip tables and go, really? This is not what my sanctuary is for. You never got to see him kneel down next to a sinner that everybody else was ready to kill and extend nothing but love. You never got to see him look at people that he loved who were starving and take a little tiny piece of bread and offer it up to heaven and break it and watch it feed multitudes and never blip in his faith. You never got to see him weep over the condition of his children. You never got to see him stand up to all of the Pharisees who wanted to kill him for breaking the law when he said, can I just tell you? I came to heal people. I came to deliver people. I came to set them free. I don't care what day of the week it is. If all we saw was 3 minutes, how much different of a friend would he be to you? Now I want you to think about your process. People are watching you in your process. They're watching the journey that you're on. As you run your race, people see and are supposed to see the Savior in you. That, remember, what was that definition of fervor? To be aglow. As you're in your purpose, whether it's your favorite part of the process or your least favorite part of the process, as they watch you, they're supposed to see Jesus. They're supposed to understand him a little bit more. They're supposed to experience him a little bit more. They're supposed to be able to hear him a little bit clearer and see his face a little bit more as they watch you in your process, regardless of how fun that process sometimes is. Not every part of his process was fun. But we saw who he was, we learned who he was, and we saw the Father. This is what Jesus said. He says, you want to know who the Father is? See, nobody gets to see the Father. You want to know the Father? Look at me. You want to hear the Father? Look at me. You want to know what the Father would do when people are beating him? Look at me. Now, you know what? Now they're looking at you. They're all looking at you. The process is important. I want to show you a video. Don't give up in your process. Every step of the process matters.
Whoa, what are you doing? Thank you.
Sent me those first two pictures on with the knee braces, the back brace, the canes, 297 pounds, and his belly was out to here. And I was thinking, God, how am I going to help that guy?
When you get what you want and not what you need, when you feel so tired that you can't sleep, stuck in reverse. Tears come streaming down your face when you lose something you can't replace. When you love someone but it goes to waste, could it be worse? Lights will.
Up, they'll fall, and I'm not gonna do that right now. But I'm really pleased with this, and I just want to share this with everybody. Thanks a lot.
When you're too in love to let it go, but if you never try, you'll never know.
Here's where I'm at now.
Just what you wear.
Just because I can't do it today doesn't mean I'm not going to be able to do it someday.
And
just because you can't do it today doesn't mean you won't do it someday.
Right.
Just because I can't do it today doesn't mean I won't do it someday. You need to believe Jesus and look for him in the process, not just the purpose. First song we did, the one who shuts the mouths of lions, the same spirit lives in me. Do you know what that means? That means right there in the step that you're in, that same spirit that shuts the mouth of the lion is alive in you for the step, for the process that you are in. And when you find anybody who has lost value in the process, who's lost faith in the process, infuse them with yours. Be like that guy. Don't be like every other voice. Be that guy. Be that guy that says, you know what? I'll walk with you. Be that guy that says, I have enough faith for both of us. Be that guy that says, you can't walk anymore in your process. I'll carry you. And if I can't lift you, I'll find 10 of my friends. Come on. And we're going to walk with you until you believe that you can walk. Amen? Amen. Andy, if you cue up that song again, those two songs again. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you gave us a process to see. Thank you that you didn't just come and do it in 3 minutes, because how much less would we know about you? How much less could we understand you? How much less could we receive from you and believe about you? Thank you that you did it the hard way. That you just didn't come and do what you could have done in 3 minutes, but you left heaven to be here for us. Give us that kind of heart for the world that you've left us in. That though we know we could be in heaven with you and not have to be in the process that we're in, we have such love, such care, such the Father's heart for the people around us every day, that we just want to be in that process in a flame with the character and the nature and the noise and the presence of you to the world around us. I thank you that you cheer us every step of the way. I thank you that you carry us when we can't go on anymore. I thank you that every dumb little insignificant thing that we wish we didn't have to go through, that you have a purpose and a plan. And if we keep our eyes on you, you will take everything the devil intends for evil and you will turn it for good. If we keep our eyes on you and we stay fervent, full of zeal and serving you, which is our life's purpose, that all things, you're working for the good in our lives, in the process, in the purpose, and the journey that we're in. I love you so much. Thank you for your love. And may your love empower us every day to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.